How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Good Bit Podcast. We are here today for another very exciting edition of the podcast, and we are very grateful to have you with us. Thanks for tuning in wherever you're listening, whether it's on your phone, if it's on your laptop, if it's on YouTube, if you're watching the video version, if you're in the bath, if you're in the car, if you're in your bed. I do not know and I do not care, everybody. I just want you to be happy. And hopefully, if we can provide the soundtrack to your life today for the next wee while, then we have done our jobs. Ladies and gents, thank you very much for tuning in. This is the Good Bit Pod. Iona, welcome back to the show.
Hello, what an intro.
You like the intro?
That was a good one.
That used to be something I was known for. Everyone just was like, oh, wait to hear Chris's big intro. And then I felt pressure. You know, I felt pressure to do it. So we're here. We're in not a studio today. Mm-mm. We're in an office today.
We are.
Basically, I'm getting some work done to the house where I would normally record, in my kitchen. So there's all sorts of noises happening in the kitchen. Drilling and sawing and knocking things down and stuff like that. So there was no place to record audio. Evidently so that we didn't have an episode last week.
Yeah.
So...
Last week? That was Easter. Just trying to do the math in my head.
That was Easter. So it was one of those ones where I just felt, I mean, we've been doing episodes every single week. Sometimes it's nice to take a wee break.
Yeah, I've been doing really well with episodes.
We've been really well.
Super busy.
Yeah.
Which has been fun.
I like the consistency. That's my biggest thing. Like, I just like people to know, like, a new episode's coming out, and then I've got a pattern of when I post about it and stuff. So, yeah, that was it. But how have you been? How's your week been? How was Easter for you? Did you get any eggs?
I did. I got lots of chocolate.
Yes.
Oh, I meant to bring you.
You what?
Favour. Mum made, my lovely mother made up little Easter favours because we hosted Easter Sunday. she had like chocolates and all that for you. Like, just be. I need to bring.
Oh,
it.
Man.
It's so.
Well,
annoying.
You gave me. Your mum gave me an egg. Gave me an Easter egg.
Yeah, but she had more for you.
How lovely is this, right? Everybody listening at home, I think I've already given you this rant. I got Iona, my lovely girlfriend, a mini eggs Easter egg, and my parents got Iona a celebrations Easter egg, right? Iona's mum got Iona a mini eggs Easter egg and got me a celebrations Easter egg. What are the chances? And I just know you so well.
Yeah, I do love mini eggs. Only time of year they come out, so you have to like enjoy them. I can eat celebrations at Christmas or during summer or... whenever, at any other holiday occasion, but mini eggs are only for Easter.
I mean, if you were to save them for the rest of the year, then you'd have them, just saying.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen in my house.
Scan them all.
No, I mean, they've just, oh, love them. Anyway, Easter was great. Thanks for coming along.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was fun. We done an Easter egg hunt for my little cousin, who is three. She turned three, geez, a little teenager. She said she called her mum a loser. I shouldn't say this in the podcast because she started swearing.
They grew up so literally fast.
we were looking for something. We lost like a bit of the jigsaw puzzle. So we're on our hands and knees in the living room because we watch her during the week, me and my mum and my sister. And my mum does, but we're just in the house. Yeah. We help.
You're there too.
And we're looking for this bit of the puzzle that's missing or whatever it was, and Isla's just jumping about going fucking sake, can I find it, fucking sake. And then she said it that night in front of her mum, and Lindsay texts into our group chat saying Isla's just dropped an f-bomb.
And you were like, yeah, we've already heard
that. Like, yeah, that happened today. And she's done it again the other day. She said fucking sake. And then she turned around and Lindsay says, oh, I don't like, that's not a nice word. That makes mummy feel sad. Like, I don't like that word. And she turned around and says, you're a loser. So that's what we're dealing with.
She's just turned three, everybody.
Yeah. I said to her yesterday, I says, Ayla, can you go back to being two, please? She was like, no, I can't. I was like, why? Because I'm three. She's old enough three too. She's like, I'm three. I can't be two because I'm three now. I was like, great.
She's so cute. She's so cute.
She's wild.
And before you know it, she's probably going to be on the podcast before Neve is your twin.
I know. How have we not had her on yet?
Oh, don't even start me.
I don't know if we should get her on.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
My ears will be ringing. It's bad enough with my sister and her main yours. Love you, everybody.
Shocking.
Right, so in terms of the world of the cinematics that we're always here talking about, I've seen loads of stuff that we're going to talk about today, or I'm going to talk about, but I don't want to bore you to death. But I guess I was thinking about
this.
I don't
really get an option in that choice.
No, I know. But I was thinking, I was like, I don't want to speak for so long and just me talking, but that was what my whole YouTube channel was like for about 10 years, where it was just like, I've seen this film and let's talk about it for 15 minutes. Mind on what?
YouTube.
Hi.
I remember one of the first videos I watched of you before I met you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was it?
Have I told you that?
You think so, yeah. But yeah, I'm trying to act as if I haven't for the entertainment value.
I don't know if I told you that before.
What?
It was our lovely mutual friend that set us up. It's like, oh, he's on YouTube.
Oh,
so
Christ.
We'd YouTubed you.
YouTubed me?
And he came up and we're like, oh, there he is. And it must have been, I think it was something to do with Batman.
No, is it?
Or you had your Batman t-shirt on. Why I remember that so specifically,
that's
I don't
really
know.
Strange.
But something to do with
and you were like, oh wow, he's so not a loser. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, you see, I used to do that. I still do YouTube by putting the podcast on YouTube.
Yeah, the podcast, yeah, but you don't do like your reaction videos or your try not to laughs, which always made me laugh.
No, I don't. I did enjoy those days. It was a lot of work for kind of what you get out of it though. And I've been watching one of my friends doing YouTube recently and it's kind of not put me back in the mood for it, but it's a good outlet just for like therapy.
Yeah.
Set the camera up and talk. You know what I mean? And then you get comments from people and stuff. You know what I mean? You can interact with the viewers. That was always nice.
Yeah. Well, during COVID, me and Eve started to do it a little bit, which I'm now going to go on in private all those videos.
I like them.
It was a wee dance challenge that we started because of lockdown and we couldn't, like our dance classes and all that shut down. So we thought, oh, to keep the kids dancing,
we should just do it online.
We'll try and do stuff online for them. And then we just thought, oh, we'll put it on YouTube. And some of the videos done quite well.
Yeah, yeah.
We've done a Katy Perry one that done quite well.
I think the reason why I wasn't like embarrassed about having a YouTube channel when I started talking to a girl, which always like was something that I was worried about, you know what I mean? I was like, oh God, I'm going to get like embarrassed. Or I wouldn't necessarily be embarrassed, but maybe like the person that I was speaking to might have not thought it was cool or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I was okay with it because you were doing those dance videos. And I was like, oh, she's doing it as well.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like, oh, I hope she doesn't find it. You know what I mean? It was always like a... And it's so funny. There's a thing in Scotland that we call a riddy, right? And it's a real thing, right? And then it's patter and stuff like that. Oh, what a riddy. But it is actually a real thing. People don't like to... There's something about confidence and being outgoing and... I don't know, if you're Scottish, it's not as easy to do unless you were from America or something like that, right? So there's that issue as well. Did you just spill your tea?
A little bit on my hand.
Oh, is it burning?
I'm scared to sip it.
You need to talk it.
I know, I'm trying, like, so I'm going to take a sip, but I don't want this to be ASMR because that freaks me out. That's it. No, this is leaking or something.
ASMR. That's my ASMR.
Behave. No, I really don't like it.
You want to pause, you want to fix it?
See, when I'm on TikTok and it comes up, and it's like somebody eating or like tapping. I mean, I know when I have my nails done, I sit and tap.
Yeah.
But like they tap the microphone and they talk like this. And they can hear their saliva.
No, okay.
Don't. Right, I want to drink my tea.
You want to pause and fix the tea? No, you're good.
I just want to drink it.
Okay, that's fine. But I just don't want you spilling it all.
I know, but just don't show me, try to sip it and then burn in my mouth.
And cut to Iona. all right, so I've seen loads of stuff. I've obviously been chatting about it the past few weeks about returning to Cineworld with our unlimited card. I had to be in interaction with Cineworld the other day, actually, which I'm going to read to you right now.
Oh, yeah?
First of all, I messaged them asking them about like the unlimited membership and stuff. And like the rule was always like, oh, if you've got the unlimited card, you're the one that needs to come and see the film. You can't like book your ticket for someone else, then they use it, which I never understood. I get it. You need to have the card to get the unlimited cinema. I get it.
Yep.
However, you're still paying for the card, right? I don't know how it works. I'm assuming with the fact that you've paid for it and then you book a film, that counts as one sale for the film as well, because you're booking the film, you're going to see it.
It must be.
Because, I mean, then if that wasn't the case, then the films wouldn't want to sell their film to Cineworld because then all of their members would be going to see it and then not give money to the film. I don't know. So the film is still being paid for.
Yeah.
Right? So I didn't understand why it had to be, as long as the person paying for the limited card still makes their payment that month, surely it doesn't matter who uses it, right? That was my always argument. So I messaged them. I messaged them on Instagram. In fact, no, it was Twitter. It was X. And I was like, hi there, looking for some advice. And I was just wondering about the trailers and stuff like that because Ian on the podcast told me that there's no trailers. What a liar. There's loads of trailers, right? I emailed Cineworld and I was like, right, okay, you know, is there trailers? You know, it's 25 minutes usually.
Yeah.
Have I got to be there for 7:30? or can I be there near 8? And they replied to me saying, we can confirm that adverts will begin at 7:30. With unlimited screenings, there may be slightly less adverts and trailers than would usually be expected. So they should probably take about 17 minutes. I was like, that's great. Oh, thanks for telling me that.
Quite handy.
And I said, by the way, whilst I've got you here, customer support, I said, oh, my partner can't make it tonight. can my sister use her card, although she's not the one with the thing? And they replied saying, we have to confirm that you definitely have to be the card holder that uses the ticket. That's why in the terms of use in the membership, that the physical card must be presented when entering the screen. So a cinema team can make sure that the owner of the card is the one attending the performance. So I was like, right, okay. I went that night with no one else, just myself, because you couldn't make it. They didn't check my card. Yeah. And the adverts were about 28 minutes. So customer support didn't tell us anything.
I was actually going to say, because obviously now I have my card, like the physical card, which is rather exciting. But I've not been able to actually use it. I want them to like check me.
Aye.
Well, if you get ID on you, but if you get your card, you aye, card. Here you go.
Well, mind you can use that obviously for your discounts and stuff, you know. So they'll check it then, they'll scan it.
Well, yeah, but that's not the same.
But I'm just like, you're telling us two different things.
I want to be walking into the cinema and like everybody else that's paying regular money for their regular seat and paying all the money for their snacks that they're getting. I want to be like, look at me, I've got flash my cards. Card. I'm getting discount. Just like a power trip.
No, no. No, I'm not encouraging anybody to you know, use someone else's card and stuff because, God forbid, I mean, I'm saying this now and then I bet anybody, someone, you know, in like one of the English Cineworlds or something might go and they might, it might be more strict there, you know what I mean? But the past few times I've been, they've not checked my card even though I specifically asked. So it's just, I guess it's a who's on the door situation, you know what I mean? I just know, though, next time you can't make it and I take Rachel or Ian or something like that, then they're going to ask for the card. You know what I mean? I need to take your twin sister because that she'd get away with it. But no, so...
Yeah, but do you want to go to the cinema with Niamh?
Yeah, fine. Why not? We could talk about the film before it happens and during it.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, so I've been using it quite a lot. And obviously, Iona's, you've been busy, so you've not been able to get in as much as me. But I've seen quite a few things, actually, so we'll talk about them today. First one we wanted to talk about, though, was one we saw last night. We did see it together. And it is called The Book of Clarence.
Yes.
Which was a new film, which actually isn't out yet. It's not out until April 19th. So it's one of the kind of perks of having the unlimited card, being able to, you know, see films early.
Yeah.
Not that it's a big deal to me, but just...
Well, yeah, it's quite cool because you get to see it and you get to... For me, it's like you get to get on like a... Get on the train before it goes pure crazy. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when some things kick off on Netflix or whatever and everyone's like, oh, it's amazing and... It's to talk about it online and stuff. It sometimes puts me off.
Right.
Or like I go in with into it with expectations.
You will love this, you know, and you're like, will I? Right,
yeah, because it's so amazing and everyone's going to see it. Like with Barbie, I felt like that, going to see Barbie, especially because like the press and all that was like huge for that one.
A lot of people feel like that as well. Like we were speaking to Alan Curry the other night and he's like, I saw it like a month after it came out and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So I think for me, it's quite nice to be able to go see something a little bit early. And be able to form my own opinion.
Now, it doesn't happen all the time. Judgments. You know what I mean? It doesn't happen all the time. If it's you know, a new Star Wars film, you're not getting it 3 weeks early. You know what I mean? But because this one's not as like big, I guess, for some reason, Cineworld managed to get it early. And and we're able to see it 2.5 weeks early, which is pretty cool. Maybe, obviously, they wanted to put out around the Easter weekend. You know, maybe, because it's
possibly
a retelling of some of the Bible. So when I read that description on IMDb, which, by the way, the description is as follows. Struggling to find a better life, Clarence is captivated by the power of the rising Messiah and soon risks everything to carve a path to a divine existence. So I was reading that and the poster's not great. And I was like, what is this we're going to go and see? Mm-hmm. I knew that Lakeith Stanfield, who plays Clarence and who's like the lead actor, and I remembered him from Get Out. Don't know if anyone's seen Get Out, but it is the... he's the character where he's the character that Daniel Kaluuya's character takes a picture of and starts freaking out. I don't want to spoil too much for Iona because she's not seen it, but
I probably will never watch this.
No, I think we should watch it because I think you'd quite like it. It's a good one to watch. He's the one that gets the picture taken of him and it starts the kind of mad weird freak out. So I remembered him and remembered his face from that film. I'm a really big fan of that film, so I was like, okay, cool, he's good. And then of course, just because it's the novelty of like, okay, we're getting it 2.5 weeks early, you know, we've got the card, you know what I mean, like right now I'm off, I'm not doing any work just now because it's Easter break. I was like, yeah, let's go on a Tuesday night. Doesn't matter what it is, and that's what we talk about all the time. That's the beauty of the card. You're going to go and see films that you don't know anything about. Fine, we'll go in blind, whatever. Took my glasses off, right, put them back on so I didn't walk into any doors. Went in and was something that I don't know what I was expecting with the film, but it was different to what I was expecting. I knew it was going to be a comedy because it's listed as a comedy. But I don't I've slept on it now. I still don't really know what I think.
Yeah. Were you pleasantly surprised?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Because I did enjoy it. Like, I remember when the film ended, I was like, no, I did enjoy that, definitely.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I think it was quite well made. It was an interesting perspective and look on that portion of the Bible. I thought the acting was pretty good, especially from the lead guy, Lakeith Stanfield. I thought he was really good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a difficult subject to make a film about, mm-hmm. because, you know, there's so much that you can either leave out or you need to make sure you get right and stuff like that. But I thought they did a really good job of it. You know, yeah. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, well, you just text me and says, I booked the Book of Clarence. Great.
Keep Tuesday
night free. So I was like, okay. So I didn't look anything up. I didn't ask any questions. I remember seeing something on social media. I think because James McAvoy's in it.
Right, which I didn't know.
Which, who I follow on social media, something came up, and also he's in Stranger Things. He played the wee carriage guy.
I don't know, man. I've not seen Stranger Things.
Caleb McLaughlin,
right.
Caleb?
It's a very American name.
That is. Anyway. yeah, so I'd seen that James McAvoy, and he'd posted about it as well, like ages ago. And then I completely forgot about it. And then it wasn't until I was watching it and I saw Caleb McLaughlin, and I thought, oh my god, this is that movie he posted about a few ages ago.
Caleb McLaughlin was in this one last night as well.
What?
McLaughlin's in this one last night.
Yeah, that's what I said. They played the guy that drove the carriage and the horse.
You were saying Caleb McLaughlin drove the carriage in Stranger Things.
No.
Oh.
No.
That's what I thought you were saying.
No. It doesn't drive the carriage in Stranger Things. Stranger Things season 5 is coming out.
Oh, is it?
Well, I don't know if it's coming out this year, I think. What am I saying? What was the question?
What did you think of the film?
Yeah, it was good.
You were talking about James McAvoy posted about it.
I saw James McAvoy posted about it and Caleb McLaughlin ages ago and completely forgot about it. And then it wasn't until I saw Caleb McLaughlin in it, I thought, oh, this is that movie. But I had no idea what was about. You know, it was about some sort of religion and faith, but I didn't know what story was going to be told, how they were going to do it. No idea it was a comedy. Literally, I walked in, sitting down, and in the first 5 minutes, I was watching it, and I was like, okay, they're kind of talking in like that kind of
modern dialect,
but it's like the acting looks somewhat like serious, like they're not taking the piss, like they're
okay,
it's not like farcical, it's not stupid.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what am I watching? And then when they started to talk about weed.
Right.
I was like, what have you brought me? I was like, what is this? What is it about Jesus? Like, what?
Well, I'm going to stop it right there because you can't, this is going to happen, right? We're going to be going to the cinema, right? And we're going to see some bad ones. There's going to be ones that we're like looking at each other. Like, luckily it was within the first 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, it was literally first like 5-10 minutes. I was like, what is this? And I'm like, am I allowed to laugh? Is this supposed to be funny? Yeah. I just couldn't gauge the kind of sense of humour that it was and if it was going to be my cup of tea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you enjoy funny films, but yeah, you're not someone that, I don't think, okay, you know, that's your type of comedy. That's your type of comedy film. I can't think of something that you would go, that's an Iona film. You know what I mean? Because you're into like Criminal Minds and stuff like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I watched
Serial Killers.
I watched Mother's Instinct, which we'll get into later in the episode. Yeah. And I was thinking, Iona like this. But with comedies, I don't know where you stand with that. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times, a lot of my humour, you know what I mean? I'm laughing away. And you're like, either don't get it, or you don't find it funny, or you don't know the reference, or it's just not your cup of tea. And that's fine. But I just don't know that yet.
Yeah, like the slapstick kind of stuff. I don't. Like, I can enjoy it, watching it. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I enjoy most things when I watch them. And I think I get more enjoyment out of knowing that the people doing it are enjoying it.
Okay.
And it looks like fun, or that would be fun to do on a set.
Yeah.
Or that would have been fun to shoot. But, like, am I laughing pure belly ache and giggling away at it? No.
No.
Well,
that's another thing as well. That's a whole other conversation. Like,
I think I'm quite... Sorry, continue.
I'm just saying, like, in terms of a comedy, right? A comedy can be hilarious, right? But I don't think I'm the type of person that is, like, going to belly laugh at everything. to yeah. find it funny. You know what I mean? Like, I'll watch a comedy with someone and they're howling next to me and I'll not be laughing. And I'll go, oh, Chris is not laughing. But I'll still find it funny. I just never barely laughed. Went to see a play the other day, right? It was at the Oranmore in Glasgow. I had my friend Craig McLean in it. Bailey Newsome was in it as well. I'm sorry, I don't know the other two actors' names. It was called The Scaff. It was a play Pie and a Pint the other day, which is a thing we have in Glasgow. We talked about it before. And I was like, I was laughing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it was my type of humour. It was Glaswegian. It was relatable. It was about people my age. It was, you know what I mean? So that was my type of show. Mm-hmm. It was about football. It was like, you know what I mean? And I remember I was laughing and I do this thing when I really laugh, my face gets all screwed up and I feel the tears coming. Like, it's weird. Like, I feel like I know when I found something particularly funny. That happens. My face goes a certain way, right? I just can feel it. And it's one of those laughs. And I was doing that watching that play.
Yeah.
Right? But that doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen often at all when I'm watching a film. But I still found it funny. You know, I mean, I laughed a couple of times at the Book of Clarence and I was coming out going, that was really funny.
Yeah.
But it's not a pure, you know, I was howling laughing.
Yeah.
You know, Amanda said that about Poor Things. Uh-huh. There's funny bits in Poor Things. Yeah. But Amanda's like, people were around me howling laughing. And Amanda was like, what are you laughing at?
Yeah.
You can imagine her being like, stop laughing.
I know. For Poor Things, when I went to see it, it was a bit later on. It was just before the Oscars. And it wasn't that busy.
Thank God you saw it.
But I was, like, around me, it was, like, a couple of guys. Mm. So there's one guy in front of me, somebody in the same row at the other end. And I found myself laughing at things. But they were, like, just sitting eating their whatever they were.
Yeah.
Popcorn or whatever. And I was like, I'm laughing at that because they don't find that funny because it's a joke against a man. Like, And that made me laugh more knowing, you didn't like that or that made you uncomfortable. Or,
right.
Because you can sense that. But Poor Things was funny.
It's all about your sense of humour. Like, I mean, I was laughing. We talked about Barbie.
Yeah.
There was bits that were like demeaning to men that I was laughing about because I got the joke. I was like, I know what they're doing
it's
here.
The joke.
Whereas
people
were genuinely offended by it. And I was like, but that's the joke though. You know what I mean? That you're easily offended.
Well, that's the thing with comedy, and I think talking about comedians, that it's hard for them now to make a joke about anything. I'd hate to be a comedian trying to write new material.
Absolutely.
And make fun of the world.
Like, that's why a lot of people do crowd work, isn't it? Because it's the easiest thing. It's just like, you know, even that you need to be careful about. There's a comedian that we are both going to go see called Paul Smith. Mm-hmm. Who recently came out and said a thing on a podcast. He made the joke of, like, it was in crowd work and he does a lot of like improv and like he reacts to what the people in the front row tells him. And one of them just said, he's like, oh yeah, I'm not doing too good today. Like, I've just recently been diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. And Paul Smith thought, thanks for bringing down the mood of the show. Mm-hmm. That was his joke, right?
Yeah.
And everybody was howling and the family were laughing. They were like, thank you so much for making us laugh about the whole situation. Mm-hmm. Like, apparently they DM'd him before. But he got so much hate. He's like making a joke about cancer. And he then came out on a podcast and had to explain himself.
Absolutely not.
And he was like, it was just, you know, it's in the moment. I didn't think, you know, but it got a laugh and the family really liked it. It would be a totally different story if the family were annoyed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but you just don't know. It's really hard.
It's like what you say, you make jokes all the time, right? You're a terrible pattern, right? And it makes me sometimes question things. I'm like, what? Really? Is that needed? It's like not a tick. It's a compulsive thing. It comes out your head, you just see it, you can't not let it go, otherwise you'll like pass it or shut my
face. The only thing I can compare myself to is Chandler and Friends. I'm nowhere near as funny as Chandler,
but absolutely not.
He had this thing where he's like, funny's all he's got, he needs to make the joke.
Yeah So like, you need to make the joke and you do it all the time, but you say to me as well, like, the joke's ruined when you then explain it to me. Because sometimes I look, I'm like, what?
But I want the credit though.
Or like, you look at me waiting for me to laugh or realise you made a joke. And then I'm like, nah, that again.
But I want the credit. I want you to go, so that was a joke there and here's how I thought of it. I'm actually pure clever and thought of that joke. I want that as well.
But it's like, for comedy, it's like, as soon as people need to start justifying their jokes or like defending themselves against people that are offended, it just kind of ruins the purpose of it all. Like, it's meant to be fun and it's not serious, do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, a film as, you know, with such a serious subject matter like the Book of Clarence, though, you know what I mean? They were, you know, not crossing the line. What's the word? Riding the line? You know what I mean? What's the word? Toeing the line? Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like, because they're doing a really serious topic that is probably going to offend a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I wrote that on my wee Letterboxd review.
I forgot I've got Letterboxd.
I checked your page the other day and you've not logged one film.
You need to find a way to do it. There's a reason I never kept a diary when I was younger, or like a journal or anything, right?
This is my letterbox review for the Book of Clarence. Really enjoyed this. Getting quite so-so reviews by the critics. Very interesting perspective, this one. Some funny bits to bring you back to modern-day cinema. Worth the watch. You know, you're doing a film about religion, you're doing a film about mm-hmm. the Bible, about Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be difficult to remain modern and have references and things like that. Yeah. So that's why I enjoyed the stuff about the weed, right? Because it reminded me that this film was made in 2023, 2024. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes, you know, people are scared to kind of go that far with it because it's not how it was. I don't know when weed was created. I don't know if Jesus had it. But what I'm saying is, that's a thing that's, you know, we understand because it's in society now. You know, something as simple as smoking or, you know what I mean, some of the language they used and some of the terms they used and stuff.
Yeah.
They did have some form of like old school kind of dialect and stuff because they had to do that time period, but they weren't shy to have like modern phrases and modern acting and modern writing.
I think that's what confused me a bit, right? Was like the kind of time period of like it was so mixed with everything. I was like, I just couldn't place it. I think that was not, it didn't put me off, but I couldn't settle into the movie.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea what I was watching as well.
So I took a couple of notes then for the Book of Clarence. I'll give you my notes and then you can comment on my notes, right? So first thing I wrote about was I really liked the music. I thought it was a really, like, it felt very carefully thought out soundtrack.
Yes.
Now, there's no recognisable songs. Now, that could be because I'm ignorant towards modern music or whatever, or soul music or that genre of music. I don't know, right? Mm-hmm. As someone that is very kind of neutral with music, likes a bit of everything, you know, knows a little bit about all the different genres and stuff, but not too much, I would never consider myself an expert on music. If Ian was here, he might have something a bit more. Yeah. Ian was everything about music, right? From my point of view, I didn't recognise any song, I didn't recognise any artist, right? But it was almost like everything was so carefully selected for this one. Not just because, you know, some of the lyrics were religious and they had like biblical quotes in the songs and stuff like that I noticed. So that's obviously on purpose. But I really thought the music stood out, helped progress the story, which you can't say about so much. The reason I think this is a really kind of interesting point is because the director, James Samuel, has a world-renowned kind of like music composer, right? He's worked on the soundtracks for loads of big music, loads of big films. He was the executive musical consultant on The Great Gatsby, which is something I was like, oh, wow, really? Hmm. Now, that's a film I've never seen, but I know that's a kind of epic film.
You've never seen The Gatsby?
It's one of Rachel's favourites, and she's like, I can't believe you've never seen it. Never seen Gatsby. And it's a DiCaprio film as well.
Well, I've never seen the original Gatsby, but I've watched DiCaprio's one.
I'm a fan of DiCaprio, so I'd like to watch that. But yeah, so that was really interesting. I was looking at the soundtrack. I saw that the director was also a musical consultant on some big films, including something as massive as The Great Gatsby. Mm-hmm. So that kind of all made sense. I was like, yeah, really interesting music choices. And, you know, again, I'm not a religious person, but I wouldn't mind listening to the soundtrack, you know, as a playlist or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I noticed some of the songs, and I thought, oh, I really want to go look into the music and the soundtrack, because I would listen to it, I think, because some of it was really cool. I'm just reading here that Jay-Z was an executive producer as well.
Really?
On the soundtrack.
I never saw that in the credits.
Yeah. Lil Wayne was on it. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, cool. So that sounds good. Do you think this film could be used in an educational way? That's my question to you. I was thinking about that the other day. Last night. Because obviously films about the Bible and stories of the Bible and, you know, characters like, you know, the Messiah, Jesus, God, Barabbas, things like that.
Do I think they'll be shown it in third year RE? Absolutely not. But
that's kind of what I was asking.
I don't know if they will.
No.
I think they could. I just don't know how, obviously it's a movie, so I don't know how how true to the Bible.
The actual story, yeah.
That's something I've not checked, is like how much have they deviated, or like obviously there's probably been stuff they have just chucked in for a laugh or whatever dramatic effect. I don't think it will, but I think I'd like to. I think they should be using more modern media to educate because it will relate to
yep.
younger generations and things. Rachel, did she not do her dissertation on something to do with books? About yeah, using
the representation of stuff and how it's like there's yeah. a select few that's always used when we should yeah. be expanding. Yeah, yeah.
yeah. So yeah, I think that's just education and the curriculum for excellence and all that for you. It just is not changed.
I think it is getting better, but you're right. Like it is, it's very stubborn, and it's yeah. not even just in this country. Like it is just a thing in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My whole thing about like, you know, how what you believe in and your religion and that sort of thing is like, I don't think this is my beliefs. It's very awkward talking about these things. So you don't want to offend anybody, but mm-hmm. My beliefs are that like it's not a. This is what happened. It's a yes or a no situation, right? And that goes for so much in my life, right? I don't believe there's a black or a white. There's a, you know, there's loads of shades of grey in there, right? So I think it should be used. Mm-hmm. This, not necessarily this film, but loads of different films, documentaries, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
To kind of teach people, for people to form their own opinions.
Yes.
Right? Do I think they're going to watch this in third year RE to tell the story of Jesus? No.
No.
You know what I mean? However, there's no reason why maybe an older class couldn't be shown this film yeah. to have an opinion on this is a telling, yeah. this is a religious-based film.
Yeah.
In some ways. And this is kind of what I was trying to say to you last night as well. I didn't think at any point they disrespected Christianity, the Bible. They didn't, I think, you know, it's not as if they were telling their own version of what happened. I think they were kind of, this was a putting their own spin on it. This is their, you know, they're adding characters and, you know, they're adding different events and stuff like that. I don't think they disrespected anything like that. I don't think they deviated too much from what mm-hmm. the Bible says. But yet there was still a kind of satire aspect of it, a satirical aspect of it. And it was funny and they did get away with yeah. stuff. But yeah, and that is why I really enjoyed it, because I felt as if I wasn't being spoon-fed information.
Yeah, it was being, you know, shoved, I mean, down your throat, being like, this is what happened, this is so serious.
Believe
and
this.
It was, believe this. Yeah,
it didn't feel like that at all.
No. And I think that's where people go wrong when it comes to religion. You think, oh, I need to believe everything that's said. No,
said
you
me.
Can call into question some things yeah. and make your own opinions. And like what you were saying, it's important to, I think, it's important to give people all the information and then for them to be able to decide themselves on what they want to believe or what they want to do, whatever, in regards to anything, I think. I think that's important. And it's important to be able to choose and then be wrong and be able to change your decision
yeah.
as well.
And that's develop important. Opinions and stuff. Yeah. That's absolutely a thing. Yeah, that's why I found it very interesting. And
yeah.
another thing is, because of those reasons, I would probably watch this film again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I think I would watch this film again. I think, for me, I don't know what am I going to say here? Because you've just went a big rant about religion.
I know, I'll cut that.
No, I don't. That was really interesting, I think.
Okay.
Because, do you want me to talk about not my beliefs,
no,
but...
No, I'm supposed to talk about the film.
but it's the whole point of the conversation.
Okay, yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
the whole point, is that it's starting a conversation, a movie about the Book of Clarence and religion.
But then, we're sitting watching the opening of this film. And again, we know nothing. The only thing I knew about this film was that this guy from Get Out was in it. Right? And then James McAvoy's name pops up in the opening credits yeah. and Benedict Cumberbatch's name.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I was like, what are these two guys doing in this film? I had yeah. no clue. And, you know, as obviously fellow Scottish actors and stuff, we always sit up when you see McAvoy's name,
yeah.
you know. And it's just people was playing a really kind of evil character. Benedict Cumberbatch plays Jesus. What a hilarious kind of performance.
Yeah. It was so, I can't see, because, which I quite enjoy actually, see when credits are at the beginning of like a movie, like, you know, how they do in James Bond, and it's
yeah.
like, I love all that, because it makes you actually sit and watch and see every name and give credit to every single person that was a part of the whole process.
Yeah.
Whereas, for example, as soon as the movie finished, as soon as it went to black and the credits started rolling, those people that had their torches on up and out.
Right.
And in my head, I think it's also because we're also part of the industry, so that you kind of want to sit and some sort of respect to everybody that was part of it.
My thing is, someone sat there and typed all that.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Taking them hours.
But because we'd seen their names near the start, I felt like I was just waiting for it. I was like, when did they come in?
Yeah.
And then as I realised, oh, I have seen kind of a bit of promo for this, I thought, right, I think I know who James McAvoy is. But I was like, Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah.
Who the fuck's he in this? Like, yeah, I had no idea he was in it. Obviously, I didn't know much about film, but I just felt like I was waiting for him, and then they just like, I was like, oh my god, that's him.
Yeah,
it's quite funny.
I mean, the film's, the opening shot is them all on the crosses and stuff, and I never noticed Cumberbatch there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like foreshadowing what you're going to see at the end of the film and stuff like that. But yeah, no, I feel like I learned stuff about the Bible. I felt I really enjoyed the story that told in this version of the story, this version of the film. I would watch again. Really liked the music. Thought the acting was good. All in all, yeah, enjoyed it.
The whole film was about Clarence questioning faith and, well, belief and knowledge and God and Jesus. And it was just, I think it's a really important story, actually. Now that we've had this conversation and we're talking about question stuff and what do we believe, what do we not, I think actually now, yeah, they probably will hopefully somewhat use it when it comes to teaching others, because it is teaching that you are like even though everybody believes this one thing, you're allowed to still kind of be like, actually,
what's, yeah,
can I look into this for myself, and then I'll come at you and be like, okay, I believe in it now.
When I say educational, I don't necessarily mean showing young kids at school.
Well, no, I don't mean it like that, but
I'm just saying, like, I mean, it can be used. I mean, I'm out of school and I'll learn something from it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but no, just now that we're like talking, I'm just like, oh yeah, the whole movie was about him questioning
stuff
and like building up his resilience. I hate that word, building up his resilience and what's the other word?
And he kind of goes around and he's like trying to use his beliefs and stuff like that to try and like get one over on people and make a bit of money, but then he's doing it as a kind of like going behind their back and trying to like deceive them and stuff, but he's using the money that he makes from it to free slaves to do good, you know?
Well, I think he was so determined to kind of prove them everybody wrong, like, and prove that, yeah, what I think's actually true, it is all BS.
Uh-huh.
Like, that he then was so passionate about it that he then actually learned, oh, actually, maybe there is something in this.
Yeah.
Which was quite powerful,
it's,
I guess.
It's powerful, yeah.
Having that confidence or that assurance of, like, no, I'm going to go against the grain.
I think if you can find comfort in it, then that's a big thing for me. If you've got someone that just hates all religion and hates believing in these things and is completely against it, and then watches something like that film and goes, oh, that's actually really interesting, I'm maybe going to have a think about it again, or, you know, like, I'm going to look at it a different way. I'm not saying it's going to change people's beliefs and things like that, but it's just a different perspective of, you know, these characters that we've grown up, you know what I mean, that we've heard of and read about and stuff. So, yeah, it's an important film, and it's going to totally go under the radar. It's going to be interesting when it does come out in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's going to get buzz. Are more people going to see it? It might be one of those films, and it does happen. You get really good films, really important films that no one sees.
Yeah.
You know, so that could happen too.
Yeah, so. I think it's a very, is it unassuming the right words?
Like, unassuming film?
You don't really know what you're going in for. You might think it's one thing, but it's not. And yeah, I think people should just go in with it with like
an open mind.
Completely open mind.
Yeah.
Just like how Clarence had to have an open mind.
I think it was good that we went in totally kind of like we didn't know anything about it because you hear about, you know, sort of retelling of this story and stuff, I might be like, oh god, I don't know if I'm...
Yeah, I would never have picked to go see this movie. Yeah. Never have picked to go see it. And even if you'd have went to see it,
I would have told you about it
if you'd went to see it and then came home and told me, probably still wouldn't have went. So I'm really happy I have actually seen it.
Well, that's why I'm going to be in charge of booking the films.
Yeah, you can have that power.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I mean, definitely go see it. It's interesting film, and I'd like to actually talk to more people about it to see what they think when like it's been out for a while, when like it's sat and like it's in the media and stuff. So interesting. And McAvoy's in it, and so is Benedict Cumberbatch, so that was, I'm like, okay, didn't expect them to be involved here. But yeah, another film that came out recently that you've not seen, that I don't want to give too much away because I do think you'd like it, right, is a film called Mother's Instinct with Anne Hathaway and Jessica Chastain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was, again, you know, past couple of weeks we've talked about it. I put out a bonus episode of the podcast earlier this week, chatting about being back to Cineworld with our unlimited cinema cards. So that is always good to have. And because of that, you get these early screenings and stuff, and you're able to go and see things before they come out, and you know, it's on a certain time, and you're only in with like fellow cinema goers, so it kind of eliminates, you know, like everyone bringing their kids in and disrupting you, so that's always a good thing too. So, you know, I was free one night, this film was being shown, I think you were working, I was like, I'm just going to go see it, you know, I mean, why not? Like, it's Unlimited. It was my first one being back as an Unlimited member, seeing a preview. And again, it's a film I would never have seen. You know, the poster, I mean, it looks like a kind of high class kind of, you know, I don't know, old school American kind of like film, you know, like The Favourite or like Downton Abbey or something like that from that era. Right.
Oh, like in a period
drama or something like that, right?
Like
which
Pride and Prejudice or something.
I'm not really into it, right? I've never been into period dramas. I've never watched Downton. This is not my thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I probably wouldn't have seen it otherwise, right? But I was like, you know what? It's Unlimited screening and stuff. I'll go see it. And that's the whole point of the card. You're meant to see different films and stuff and different tastes and stuff. And I really, really enjoyed it. It's very suspenseful, which I didn't expect, right? Okay. So I'll try and talk about it without spoiling it. So basically, it's about these two mothers.
Yep.
Right? One's called Alice, one's called Celine, played by Anne Hathaway and Jessica Chastain. And they, you know, they're stay-at-home mums. Their husbands are going, it's set in the 60s, I believe, or 50s, 50s or 60s.
Is it not?
Their husbands go out and work. They've got two, they've both got a son, and their sons are friends. They play together and that sort of thing. And one day, Anne Hathaway's son has a very serious accident.
Yep.
And it's all about Anne Hathaway trying to kind of like come to terms with that. But then she kind of puts the blame on Jessica Chastain because, you know, they're always, you know, connected because their sons were friends and stuff like that. And it's about how Jessica Chastain's son deals with losing a friend and all this sort of stuff. So it's like, it's one of those ones where something happens and you go, oh, I didn't expect it to go that way.
Yeah.
And it's a whole different type of film, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the IMDb description. Alice and Celine live in a traditional lifestyle with successful husbands and sons at the same age. Life's perfect harmony is suddenly shattered after a tragic accident. Guilt, suspicion, and paranoia combine to unravel their sisterly bond. That's a good description, actually.
That's really good.
And this was my Letterboxd review. I gave it 4 stars on Letterboxd. If you want to follow me on Letterboxd, by the way, to see what films I'm watching and hear my thoughts, it's at CM42TV. I'd love to connect with you on there. Went in completely blind and thoroughly enjoyed. Felt the way I think I was supposed to after I watched May December. Remember that one? Also, Hitchcock vibes? Question mark. Thought it was very good. So we saw May December before the Oscars with Padme. What's her name? Natalie Portman. And Julianne Moore.
I forgot she's in that.
And it was fine. But they could have went...
So forgettable.
It's forgettable. They could have went so many different ways with it. It had so much potential of a story.
Yeah.
And I felt as if it didn't deliver the full potential that
it
was...
Yeah, it sounded like it was going to be a lot better and, or a lot more
dramatic.
More
yep.
Exciting, I don't know if that's the right word, than what it was.
Do you ever watch a film when you came out of it and you're like, oh God, like I was a pure ride that went on there, like I was a journey.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was how I wanted that to be the case with May December and it just wasn't.
It wasn't.
Whereas, I'm not saying this is like a pure, like whoa, like changed my life or anything, but it was a bit more of a kind of dramatic, you know, journey.
Well, that's quite exciting.
Definite slow start. I'm thinking, oh, this is not what I'm going to enjoy. And then when the accident happens to Anne Hathaway's son, Anne Hathaway's character's son, then that does change the film. I like moments in films that totally change it. We watched Saltburn recently, and it's a longer burn, no pun intended. It goes on for ages. You think it's one way, and then about an hour in, it changes, man. Like, you go, oh my God, this is not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
The Barry Keoghan's character is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it changes. I love films. It really sits
with me. With a dance floor.
Exactly, and that's what a song. There's a moment in this... I don't want to tell you about it. There's a moment in the film where Jessica Chastain's character's son...
Don't ruin it.
...is in a similar situation to what caused the other son's accident. And it's so tense. And I felt as if I'm maybe watching, you know, something happen in my real life. And you're sitting there and you can't take your eyes off it. And you're like, oh my God, something's going to happen. Like maybe if like a, you know, if a car's going really fast or, you know, something...
Yeah.
It looks like a disaster's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? So that's totally worth it. This is Benoit Delhomme's directorial debut. Try to say that 5 times fast. Jesus. Clarence. And this is his debut. I said, Jesus. This is his directorial debut, right? And I was like, I feel like I know the name. He's a world-renowned cinematographer. He's worked on so many things. He's been working since 1984. And he was the director of photography on The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, The Theory of Everything, and Free State of Jones. And he's always worked as a cinematographer, but this was his first as a director.
Oh, wow.
So amazing. There was a lot of kind of aspects of the cinematography, like from Boy in the Striped Pyjamas and Theory of Everything. They kind of had similar vibes to this in terms of the way it was shot and stuff like that I really noticed. Mm-hmm. And he starts just thinking it's another film, and then it draws you in, right? A bit like a kind of Hitchcock film.
Yeah.
So like it's like that master of suspense that just keeps you wanting more, keeps you guessing, you're not entirely sure. Psycho's a good example of that, right? You just think it's another horror film, it's another film, you know, this, you know, it's a woman on the run. She rents a car, she gets to a motel, she's in the motel, everything seems normal, and then immediately the hotel or the motel landlord? Clerk? What do you call the person that runs a motel? Landlord? The person that is in charge of the motel?
Not a landlord. I don't know.
The person that rents it out.
A motel owner? I don't know.
Motel owner?
landlord, you know, yeah, you use landlord.
Landlord, you know. Norman Bates, and he's crazy, you know, so it like totally changes. You go, oh God, what's that song? Yeah, definitely worth the watch. Probably will be a hidden gem. But, and I thought no one would hear of it, and then every time I've mentioned it, people have gone, oh, it's that one with Jessica Chastain, so maybe it is.
Yeah, well, I saw a trailer for it on TikTok when the trailer like first dropped. This is the problem. I need to like take notes. I need to use Letterboxd.
Yeah.
Because I'm now like, oh yeah, that. Well, I've seen that, and I saw that they two were in it, and the trailer was quite suspenseful, and it didn't give much away, which I really like, because sometimes trailers give it all away.
So much away, man.
And I'm like, I'm not going to see it because I've just watched the full movie. So yeah, so that's one that I do want to go see. Because Mother's Instinct, it's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
I ain't a mother, but I don't know, it's just quite interesting, isn't it?
And it's probably, I found it probably more suspenseful because I saw it in the cinema as well. I don't know if I would have been as hooked if I watched it in the house. So maybe if you can try catching the cinema. Probably similar to the kind of Poor Things thing. You know what I mean? Like, would you have been as invested? I don't know. But yeah. So totally worth the watch, everybody at home as well. Mother's Instinct. And speaking of that song, oh wow. Another film that I just want to quickly mention, I won't go on another rant about it, but I saw the new Ghostbusters film.
Yep.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Ben Wilford's in that. He's in Stranger Things.
Ben Wilford, that's who I thought you meant before. And so is Paul Rudd. So yeah, Ghostbusters is not a franchise I grew up with. Nope. I didn't watch the films. Growing up.
Oh, did you not?
No. I've never really been that into them. Never really seen the, you know, I don't know, just never have been. They came out with a 2016 remake, I think, of Ghostbusters. It was an all-female cast, and it bombed so hard. And I didn't see it, so I don't have an opinion on it.
Oh, I saw it.
Did you see it? What did you think?
I did. From what I can remember, I did quite enjoy it. It was rather funny.
It was funny, okay.
Yeah, I didn't grow up with Ghostbusters. Like, it wasn't like on all the time in the house, but I did watch it when I was like younger, and I remember it. It's like one of those movies you just remember watching, like if it's like, whether it's a Disney movie or whatever.
Well, Ghostbusters or the new one?
Or Ghostbusters, like the original ones. So I always remember having watched it, and then when they came out with the all-female one, I quite like Melissa McCarthy.
Okay.
So I thought, oh yeah, I'm watching that. And then the press that they'd done for that, like the press tour stuff, I've just found like all their interviews really like comical, and that like the energy that they had was really good. And I thought, all right, I'm going to go watch it. And it was like amusing. Chris Hemsworth in that one.
Is he? Really?
He is. Yeah. Oh yeah, he is.
Oh yeah.
Beautiful. I don't remember like the whole thing, but it was good. You should watch it. I think you should watch it. I think you'd find that really
interesting. I'm not a fan of Melissa McCarthy, but I will check it out, because they didn't do so well, because they didn't make a second one. They just rebranded it and made like a continuation of the originals.
Yeah.
With this cast now. And it had the original one, which was called Afterlife, which I didn't see, so I just wasn't interested in Ghostbusters. And then my mum and dad and my sister did see the Afterlife one, and they were like, we're going to go see the new Ghostbusters. Mm. I was like, okay, sure, I'll come with you. I've got the card now. I'm not paying any money for it. Although I left it too late to claim my free icy drink from Cineworld. Sad days, sad times. but yeah, this new one, when the discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes an evil force, Ghostbusters, new and old, must join forces to protect their home and save the world from a second ice age. So I read that and I was like, that sounds quite fun, and it was really fun. It was just a fun adventure film. I really like Paul Rudd, you know what I mean? There was callbacks in it that I appreciated and I enjoyed them, but if I was a big Ghostbusters fan, I would have loved, so I can imagine. I think if you're a big Ghostbusters fan, you're either really enjoying that because Bill Murray's in it, because Dan Aykroyd's in it and stuff, or you hate it. You know what I mean? You know, a lot of people are like that. Don't, you know, change it. Leave it the way it is.
Yeah.
You're either one way or another. There's an actress in it called McKenna Grace, who plays Paul Rudd's daughter, or not.
She's got to be the hardest working child actor ever. She was in everything at one point.
Is she ever?
She's done so much, and now she's grown up. And I'm just like, I really hope she does the transition well from being like child actor into like
adult actor. Well, she was great. She was really good in this. And her name is Phoebe in the film, which I always found funny when Paul Rudd said that, because Paul Rudd is obviously Mike Hannigan in Friends, who marries Phoebe. So he calls her Phoebs.
Oh.
And I was like, that's what they call her in Friends. So that was a really nice moment. McKenna Grace, who was very good, portrayed a curious teen at a difficult age without it being cringy, was my note I wrote on it. So sometimes these films can be a bit like they're force-feeding you to it, you know what I mean? It's a child going through changes and she's exploring, you know, her interests.
But stereotypical.
It's stereotypical, yeah.
You know the pattern, yeah.
You know, she's like, kind of like, you know, she's not the goody-two-shoes kind of daughter or whatever. She's kind of going against the grain. She's disobeying her parents, all those things like that. And that happens all the time, but she done it in a really kind of good way that wasn't cringy. There's a moment in it where she's kind of like, she's talking to one of the ghosts that they're supposed to be hunting, but they really connect. And it's like, it's either like, I'm not sure if they were going for a romantic thing or if it was just supposed to be a friendship.
Okay.
It was hinted that McKenna Grace's character was kind of falling for her. And I was like, did she just fall in love with a ghost? Like, I don't know. But then, you know, what would happen if they stopped messaging?
Oh, stop.
They'd be ghosted.
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is why I question things.
But that was quite a good one.
I'm terrible.
Okay. And Kumail Nanjiani's in this film as well, who is in loads of comedy films now, right? And I find them funny. He's in Eternals. He's in Stuber. He plays the Uber driver. You'd know him if you saw him. If you search him, you'd know him. He's in loads of things now, right? He's very funny, right? And, you know, I've heard, you know, I know I'm obviously a big fan of Dave Bautista because of the wrestling and stuff. He said that, you know, the guy's really funny. But he literally is playing the same character in all these films. He's like this cool guy that's trying to get one over on you and has that kind of dry humour. Like, no big deal, but you know, like this sort of thing. And in this film, in Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, he's literally playing the exact same character as he did in Eternals. Like this guy that is kind of like, doesn't understand how he's got powers, but he's learning how to use them.
Yeah.
That literally is Eternals, character in Eternals.
Well put, yeah.
And in this too, you know. But anyway, yeah, he's funny as always, but he literally just plays the same thing and everything. But I don't like to say that as a negative thing. It's not a bad thing. If you've got something that works for you, you know what I mean? Do it. You know what I mean?
Well, do it, but don't become like Tom Cruise.
Well, I think that's a harsh assessment of Tom Cruise, because I think he does.
That is a bit harsh.
But Tom Cruise suffers from it because he's so famous.
But
you know what I mean?
Like, there's actors that it's like, when they're in stuff, it's like
Absolutely.
New.
Jason Statham and even The Rock to some extent and all that sort of stuff.
I can't use Tom Cruise because Tom Cruise, like, the money he puts into a movie, the project.
Absolutely.
Tom Cruise
is Tom Cruise. You know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean?
But he is hurt because he's so famous.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Tom Hanks or whoever, you know what I mean? Like, he's so famous, you go and see it, there's Tom Cruise. Yeah, good film, whatever. Easy to watch, you switch your brain off, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was under 2 hours, I think.
Okay. Well, it's one of those, like, blockbuster ones that just gets people in the cinema and, like, it's like a family film, innit?
Absolutely.
Love a good family film.
It's nice to see a family film, and, like, a lot of people were laughing in the cinema I was in and stuff, you know? But there was lots of distractions in the cinema because there was a lot of families and stuff, but that's what you get, you know. But yeah, really busy season at the cinema. It's been really nice being back. So thank you for being my partner coming to see The Book of Clarence.
Thanks for inviting me.
I never invited you.
you did. You literally text saying, I've used your card. We're going to see it.
We're going to see it. Well, the next Unlimited screening is on a Monday, so you'll be working. So I'm going to need to go myself again.
Oh, what a shame.
But I'll do that in future. I'll just book things. Like, this is how you push yourself. You know what I mean?
I know.
We're going to see ones that we have nothing about. We're going to go see ones that we don't like. And it'll develop your tastes, you know what I mean? Like, you're someone that's very easy-usy when it comes to it, right? And I think the more we go, you'll start to enjoy developing your taste. You'll start to recognise directors. You'll start to recognise what they do.
Yeah, because obviously you've seen so many films, like, in so many different types of movies.
Not even scratched the surface, brother.
And, like, loads. So when you talk about stuff, you can talk about the director and his style, or you've noticed this or that about whatever, do you know what I mean, about the movie, but it's, I'm like not really there yet.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to being able to like join in that conversation. And
it does take a while. It does.
Yeah. Gotta start somewhere.
Gotta start somewhere, man.
Gotta build my own movie collection.
Absolutely. Or it's just on Letterboxd anyway. You should use it. You should. I know I keep going on about it, but
I know I should.
It's a good way, especially for remembering stuff for this.
We should just see when we go to cinema, we should literally, as we're watching the credits,
hit it.
We should literally just sit in it and
I know. I like to leave it for a bit. I like to sleep on it and just develop. But you're right. You should just do that just to kind of go.
Or just at least put it, say I've watched it.
Yeah.
So I mean, I can go back it. And do a review or whatever. Yeah. But.
All right. Well, enjoy your week. Thanks for coming back on.
Thanks for having me.
Taking a break as my producer to be my guest this week. Mm-hmm. Who knows what we'll talk about next week?
Who knows?
Thanks for watching, everybody.
Thanks.
You can follow the show on the socials at The Good Bit Pod, whether it's on Twitter/X. Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff. And subscribe on YouTube for the video versions. All of them are in the playlist, The Good Bit Podcast. Check them out on YouTube and check out the archives on all the other podcasting outlets. We're expanding, people. We're expanding. It's happening. Take care of yourselves, everybody. We'll talk to you next time, and we'll catch you all down the road.